Blog Talk Radio.
You wanna be real. You wanna be empty inside. You wanna be someone. Laying down your pride. You wanna be someone someday. Lay it all down before the king. Oh yeah. You wanna be whole. You wanna have purpose inside. You wanna have virtue. And purify your mind. You wanna be set free today. Lay it all down before the king. This is my desire. This is my return. This is my desire to be used by you. Wanna be real, you wanna be emptied inside, and I know my heart is to feel you near, and I know my life is to do your will, is to do your will. This is my desire.
Be a great show tonight. We're going to be talking about cleaning the immoral out of the church. We're going to be talking about 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and where Paul was actually getting a letter back from the Corinthian church, and they had a lot of things going on in their church with immoral things, because back in those days, immoral stuff was pretty heavy back in the Greek culture. Greek culture, they had a lot of immoral things that was just their normal life. They had things like that all the time in the Greek culture, but the Christians didn't supposed to have that. They didn't supposed to have that in where they were, but with the Corinthian church, it was kind of getting mixed in there, and they was kind of getting the big head, well, we got this, and this is so cool that we got that, which was actually, I'll say, a guy that was having an affair with his father's wife, which is not cool. And Paul was talking about, you know, they was talking about not even the pagans had this in their life. Even the pagans lower than them was not even having this in what they did in their culture. And then the Christians had this popped into their church. And it was, you know, it was kind of outlandish what was going on there and what the church was actually getting, you know, put into their building or put into their church at that time. And it kind of reminds me of what's going on now, how we got so many things in our church. Our church looks more like the world every day. And, I mean, you see people driving Harley-Davidsons in the church and saying that we're going to auction this off and everybody dressed up in biker uniforms. And then you have, you know, now we're supposed to be saving the sinners, turning into sinners. We're supposed to be becoming the new man, not enforcing the old man. So, you know, they're kind of getting backwards with some of this stuff. And, I mean, how can you let somebody change when you're saying the way they are is fine? I mean, they're like, why do I need Christ? I mean, I'm cool the way I am. Let's keep sinning and staying in our sinful life. And, you know, what's the deal? I mean, it's more of a commune center instead of a life-changing center, and they're looking more like the world, and that's why the way the Church of Corinthians was. And Paul just couldn't believe that. He couldn't believe that they was actually allowing this in their church and doing this with their church. And I really see a lot of this in the church today. I went to a church back when I was a child, and they had a lot of, I'll say, rich, wealthy people in the church. And you would see things going on in the church that you couldn't believe, like people swapping wives, or they would just have affairs and it was all good, and then they come to church next Sunday with big smiles on their faces, walking right in and grinning from cheek to cheek, and nobody would say nothing, but they knew about it. It wasn't Christ like. That wasn't trying to walk in the shoes of Christ. That was walking in the shoes of Satan, not in the shoes of Christ. And I just couldn't believe that, how that went on. And a lot of people nowadays in the church, you can see even Christians, that they're saying, well, it's all good. We can do what we want to. We can cuss. We can swear. We can watch pornography. It's all good because, you know, Christ has already paid for that, so we can just go ahead and do it, and his blood's going to take care of that. It's like writing a rain check and throwing it to Jesus, and it's all good. But that's not it. When you become a new man, you'll have cravings for that. He's removing that from you. If you still have those cravings and you're thinking that's good, I really doubt if you're a new man at all. I mean, I know me myself as a Christian, even beforehand when I was still, I'll say, not in the right, on the right path at the time, that I wouldn't walk in the correct path. But when Christ fully came into my life, he started changing how I thought, how I talked. I would cuss like a sailor. I mean, I'll admit to it. Every word that came out of my mouth was a curse word. That's why some people that knew me from high school, hears me talk today, they can't believe it, because every word used to come out of my mouth was profanity. And the Lord changed my way I talked. I mean, everything. I mean, I would know no other word but that profanity coming out of my mouth. He cleaned that up. That's a testimony in its own that I'm not cussing anymore like I did. I mean, it's just all cleaned up. It's like I don't want to cuss like that. I don't want to talk like that. I don't want that coming out of my mouth. I want to be talking good stuff coming out of my mouth. I want my speech clean, because I've got to represent Christ. I can't represent the enemy or walk as a son of the enemy. I want to be a son of Christ or son of God. I don't want to be like that, so I want to be cleaned up. So when you're walking in that, you want to become a new man. You don't want to stay in the old man. That's the biggest problem we have. We think it's all right to have your foot in both buckets. You know, I can be a bad guy one day and then a good guy the next day. It don't work like that. you know, you're gonna like the Lord says, you're gonna hate the other and go with the other side, or you, I mean, whichever side you're gonna pick one of them sooner or later. And the Lord wants to know, are you gonna pick him, or are you gonna pick the enemy? It's up to you, and that's basically what this is talking about. Is like you're trying to walk in two buckets. You want to be a little bit of bad and a little bit of good, but the thing of it is, the little bit of bad ends up being a bottomless pit. You end up falling in that bucket and falling out of the other one, and completely in the one that you don't want. That's one thing that a lot of Christians walk. They walk a double standard life. And you can ask Robert. Robert, the Christian life is not double standards.
No, it's an
everyday walk. It's a struggle. The Lord says us to pick up our cross and follow him daily. He doesn't say pick up your cross and follow him on Sundays and then prop it up against the wall and come back Sunday morning and pick it back up. He doesn't say that. So it's a daily walk, and it's not easy. It's definitely not easy. It's something, you know, the Lord makes it easy. He comes and helps you and brings you peace and all that stuff. But the rest of it's up to you what you want to do. And the more you do it, the better you get at it. That's the thing of it is, you do this so long, you get good at it. You get good at fighting the enemy. You just don't do it just to, well, on Sunday I'm going to put a little smile on my face and walk around that little grin, and I'm good. And then when my Christian buddies see me, I'm good. But then I can go home and cuss everybody out and go to the bars. That's not a Christian life. A Christian life is when you're trying to be Christ-like, trying to change. You want to change. That's the thing. And this here is talking about a church that was kind of mixed with the world and with Christians in it, and Paul just didn't understand that. I'm going to hand the rest of it over to Robert.
Well, I would like to start off by just sharing a little bit about the background of the area, background about what's taking place here in Paul's letter. Last week I mentioned that Paul was constantly sent letters, and these letters were from the churches to him asking questions, and Paul did what all Jewish rabbis and teachers do, and it's called a responsa, which is answering the questions that are presented him. But I want to start off a little bit about just explaining ground of the area. The Roman general Mummius destroyed the Greek city of Corinth in the 2nd century B.C., but Julius Caesar had restored the city in about 46 B.C. Corinth, which is located on the Mediterranean, it becomes like a commercial and economic hub of Greece. And it was a wealthy cosmopolitan center that had pretty much over 700,000 people. And it became very bad, loaded down with immorality and licentiousness. It is a very perverse environment right there in the city of Corinth about the time that Paul comes in and establishes a church where he was there for over a year and a half on his second missionary journey. He also has some people, other names that we read about in the book of Acts, Priscilla, Aquila, Silas, and Timothy, who is a spiritual son to him. They are instrumental in aiding Paul's efforts, you know, in helping get this church on track and helping the body get focused on what they're supposed to be doing as a community or a family of God. The body of Christ. Just take the time to read here. The church sends a delegation of three men with a letter to Paul that seeks his wisdom on several concerns and questions that the church has. The letter from Paul to the Corinthians systematically answers these issues, divisions in the church. immorality, lawsuits. They even challenged Paul's apostleship. He was asked questions concerning meat that was sacrificed to idols, asked questions about marriage, divorce, even asked questions about the Lord's Supper. So this letter that Paul is writing is a response to questions that are being asked him by leadership of this body of Christ here in Corinth. And Paul is trying to help them understand that the kingdom of God has been given to them and presented to them. Jesus went about preaching the kingdom. Paul is a disciple of our Lord Jesus Christ, so I can guarantee you that he is preaching the same message that Jesus preached, the message of the kingdom, how to be a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, how to experience the life that our Father established for us to have, free of sin, free of the bondage of this world. He doesn't want us to be living life the way that some of these people were living life, and the topic in chapter 5 of this man who was lying with his mother. That's basically what we need to call it, because it's titled incest, what he was doing. And they were living in an incestuous relationship. Paul is trying to help them get free of this bondage that they're in. He's sending them assistance, and if you read over in chapter 4, he tells them in verse 17, "For this cause have I sent unto you Timothy, who is my beloved son, and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance." Remember that. Timothy is going to come and bring you into remembrance of my ways everywhere in every church. Paul is not just sending them a letter. He is sending them help. He's sending a delegate from the church to come and spend time with them to help them get things in order. Paul is an apostle. The word apostle means sent one. It means one who sets things in order. We know an apostle establishes churches. Paul established this church, and he is trying to get things in order, and he's even willing to send his son Timothy to go there to help them remember what it means to be a kingdom citizen. Remember what Jesus did for us. Remember that he has set you free from the bondage of your past. We are not supposed to be caught up in the evil and the darkness that represents Satan. We're living in an era and time of history that now the church is believing that it's okay to be homosexual. This is just the same. The attitude of this, that what they were doing is okay, and they were surrounded with a group of people that were not willing to deal with the issue, but they were allowing it to go on. Some was wanting to just overlook it, bury their head in the sand, while somebody wrote a letter to Paul. And they sent three people to Paul with this letter asking him to help them deal with this issue. That's what this is. Remember this also, that the letters that Paul wrote were just that. They were letters. They weren't broke down in chapters. They weren't broke down in verses. Everything is it's supposed to flow in continuity of Scripture. Chapter 4 is Paul telling them how to recognize his life as an example for them to duplicate and demonstrate through their very own lives. He says in chapter 4, verse 20, "For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." He's talking about a demonstration, an open show of, hey, I'm a citizen of the kingdom. And he's trying to help them remember what that's all about, the things that he spent a whole year and a half pouring into them and sharing with them. So here in chapter 5, we're seeing that they're not dealing with issues, and he's having to send them not just letters, but send them help that's going to help them come back to themselves and hopefully break free. But he tells them, look, if they don't break free, then you need to just separate them from your body. You need to, if they don't want to do what's right, you're going to have to get that out of the church. He basically tells them this. But he tells them, and you can read more about this in chapter 6, Paul tells them to deal with these issues in the church. Don't go outside of the church and try to get bring up lawsuits against your family and church members. He tells them to deal with these issues inside the church. And as you dig into chapter 6 deeper, you'll find the issue and the topic that I spoke of concerning the homosexuality and some other things. And he does a great comparison of talking about adulterers and fornicators, and he talks about being a thief, being covetous, a drunkard, a reviler, an extortioner. Those things, they're no different. He's trying to tell us that we got to stop doing those things. Go ahead, Sam.
That's it. I mean, I really saw churches where the Lord himself would take care of people like it. You just see situations where they would leave the church or something would happen. It's like the power of God in behind the curtains would start dealing with these people. And I really think that there was family members praying on this and motioning this up to the Lord for this to be done. And even Paul talks about in the letter there, he's like, you know, I'm not there with you now, but I am there in spirit and with the power of Jesus Christ. And I have already, you know, want this guy out of this church. And, you know, he didn't understand why they was promoting this, and they was happy about this. Like, look at here, you know. They couldn't, I mean, it's so much like today with the homosexuality that it's ridiculous. I mean, it sounds almost just like it, only a different situation. But it just blends in with what the church is putting up with. And the church thinks it's all right. There's churches going, you know, has actually voted for this homosexuality marriage thing back way before this happened in Congress. They said it was cool. They was all right with it. And it's just churches turning against the ways of the Lord. I mean, it's just right up there. And even when I was a child, when I was a kid, I never did see stuff like this. It was unthinkable. You would never see this go on. And you would never think that we would see the day that this would happen. But it's here. And we all know that we're in the end times. But, you know, we read about it, we talk about it. But when it's actually here, it's like mind-blowing that we can't believe, you know, it's hard to believe that they're actually allowing this to take place. And we've heard about it in other countries and, you know, in Canada and Australia, England has some things like that. But we would never think that our country was built on the Word of God. Our country was built on the Word of God. Our Constitution was built on the Word of God. Our country was a Christian experiment that they didn't know how it was going to work, but it did. Free people, a free faith in Christ. And a lot of people was thinking that it meant free religion of all religions. No, it was the way that you wanted to worship the Lord Jesus Christ was how our country was actually created, because everybody in those days was Catholic. And I have nothing against Catholic folks, but everybody was wanting to worship the Lord in a different way, or in their way. But over in England and over these other countries, they was not allowed to. They had to go by their religious thing, or that was it. So they came over here to worship the Lord how they wanted to. Biblically, how you supposed to is what they was wanting to do. And that's how our country was actually formed by that. For settlers is wanting to change, to be able to worship worship in freedom. And what they have took, now I'm getting in a whole completely different topic here, but they have took that and they have manipulated that and said it was to worship in any type of religion you wanted to. But that wasn't what it was meant for. It wasn't meant for that. It was meant to worship in the Bible however you want to. And not to have a religious finger pointing at you saying you have to do that. That was what that was for. That's why we came over here. Way a lot of our ancestors came over here. But they have manipulated that and said, well, they really create that where you can be Judaism or you can be Islamic, you can be Buddhist. That's what that's for. You can be a Buddhist, and that's fine. But it wasn't meant for that. And people get that twisted around. If you start reading about our ancestors and when they came over here and about their religious freedoms that they've come over for, that was what it was for. It's to worship the Lord how they wanted to. Not to completely change God, but to to worship the Lord Jesus how they wanted to. That's what it was for. But so many things have been so manipulated in our society today that they don't even understand anything. They just want to do what they want to do and destroy, you know, what we have. And, you know, what is freedom in destroying things that we hold, you know, personal to us? And I just don't see that, and I just, you know, I have issues with that at times. But I do know that the Lord loves each and every one of them. He wants to bring each and every one of them in his flock. And he wants to hold them in his bosom. He wants to hold them and love them and let them know the love that he has for them, no matter what religion they say they are. He wants them to know him. He wants to bring them to his Father. That's what he wants to do. But a lot of these people, they run. They run from him. They don't understand him. One of the biggest things is they don't understand the Lord. They have no idea. They just go by what people have told them or how people have swore them and scared them with God. You know, that's one of the biggest things. But then they look at our church and look at how the church is acting. They have went plumb crazy and said everything's all right. And they're like, you know, they look more like me. Why do I want to go there?
Come on.
I already do that. They're already, you know, some people say they're already homosexual. You know, why they ain't promoting change. How can you change them and you're acting just like that? We supposed to be an example of Christ, not to be an example of the enemy. And it's just, and I saw a post on Facebook the other day. It had a carrot that was planted in the ground. Had one carrot that the root went way down in the ground, but it was just a little bit of a stalk on top. And then it had another carrot. It had a humongous stalk. It looked almost like a tree on above it, but it had like a little teeny root. And the one with the root was talking about the small church. They had a thick root into the Word of God, but the church was kind of small. And then they had the one that looked like the tree coming out of the ground with no root. That was these big, well-known, multi-million-dollar churches. They have all this flash, but they don't really have a root in the Word. And that's what we're missing. We're missing the root that came out of the Word of God, that has a root in the Word of God. I mean, anybody can put on a show, but really knowing God and having that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is a different story. I mean, I could even vouch for this myself. In the last couple of years, I mean, I have built a relationship with the Lord, had him in my everyday life. And trust me, he has a lot to deal with, but he deals with me, and he loves me. And that's one of the biggest things. No matter how I mess up or whatever, he still loves me. And that's what's changing me, not pointing a finger at me every minute, but his love is not non-conditional love is what changes me. A non-conditional love is what changes me. And I'm not saying going out here sinning is fine and he's going to be cool with it. I'm not saying that. If his non-conditional love is not changing you, you have not gave yourself to him. You don't have a yearning for him. You don't want to change. When you do want to change, that's when the Lord can work with you. That's when he can cleanse you up. He cannot touch you until you want to change. You've got to be sick and tired of sick and tired. When you get to that point, you're getting sick and tired of yourself, how your life is, how your world is being. When you're sick and tired of your family being destroyed, I'll say your work life is just destroyed. You don't have no job. You had one for years, and your health has just completely disappeared, and you don't know what's going on. You're just sick and tired of being sick and tired of your life the way it is. That's the time you're ready for the Lord. He will come in and remake you into a new man, as he promised. He will. I saw it. I've experienced it. He will. It's not just a bedtime story that you're reading out of the Word of God. It's not a bedtime story. It's a real deal. He will come and remake your life, but you got to allow him. And one of the biggest things is you've got to want to change. When he changes you, sometimes there's some people that it's automatically hit all of a sudden. I mean, everything changed all of a sudden, but sometimes it's a gradual change. But you've got to work with him. When you work with him and you feel his Holy Spirit changing your heart, changing how you see people. With me, it took me a while. It took me a while to change. It took me a while. It's a constant battle. He's just working with me and turning me inside and out and showing me things, you know, that I didn't realize. He would show me things that I forgot about, sinful things that I forgot about, things, unforgiveness that I forgot about. He would show me these things. Son, you need to deal with this, or just give it to me, and I'll take it from him. And sometimes I would give it to him, and he'd take it, and then I'd think about it again. And then it was there again. He'd just keep on taking it. But then he would tell me, he'd say, you need to deal with this. Forgive these people. Forgive these people. Uh-huh. And you would forgive. So he can't go over your will. You got free will. He will not. God will not go over your will. If there's something in you that still wants it, he will not mess with it until you're ready to release it. You can talk all day long how good you are and how you've forgiven, but in your heart you really ain't, and you still like that, he will not mess with it till you're ready to give it up. He knows you better than you know yourself, trust me. So it's when you're ready to release this, that's when he'll take it. And you won't see it no more because you're done with it. That's one of the biggest things is you've got to be ready to let go. And a lot of people runs up to the altar, they accept Christ, but they ain't ready to kill their old selves. They want to be a sorry sinner and a Christian. You can't be that. You can't be both. You've got to want to change. You want to be the new man. And I'm going to tell you, when I was a child or when I was a kid and confirmation and all that, I didn't want to be a new man. I just want to be somebody I could take communion and get the wine and say I did it and I was good. I didn't really mean that when I went up there when I was a child. You know, my grandparents, my mom, all my ancestors did the same thing, but I wasn't ready, really. When you go and make a commitment to the Lord, you need to make it with your heart. You got to mean it. You want to change. And all these people, all these disciples, they wanted to change. All these people came to the disciples. They wanted to change. All these people came to the cross. They wanted to change. They wanted to become a new man, and he did that. He was willing to hand it out over to them. He died on the cross for all the messed up people like me and you and a lot of other people to give him a second chance. Without him, we had no second chance. There wasn't no second chance at all. And there had to be a price paid for that second chance. Buddha didn't die for you. He died because he got poisoned. And he didn't come back from the dead either. He's still buried in India somewhere. All these other guys, they die from being killed or whatever, and they're still in the grave. And people circling their grave all the time. You go to our Savior's grave, he's not in there. He's still alive. They tried to put him in there, and he came out. Well, tell me who's the real one. The ever-living God is Yeshua the Christ. He is the ever-living God. And he promised that we will be like that ourselves one day. When the dead is risen, we will be risen with him, and we will be like him. Does Buddha say that? No. Does Amon or whatever his name is say that? No. There's no other God that does this. Only the one true God. So it kind of helps you with all these different religions. It helps you with your with all the sin that is in the church. It kind of shows you. You've got to want to change. You've got to want God to change you, to come in you. And when you do that, that's when you see real change. You can't see real change until you're ready. And you can put the smile. I mean, if there's some folks out here that's going to church and they're just going there to sit down or whoever and put a smile on, God knows you. He created you. He knows you better than you know yourself. But he loves you anyway. That's what changes you. He loves you anyway. And you know, it says in the Word, he's waiting like a doe. He's so easy to deal with as like a tame doe. He's sitting there. If you go to a pet zoo and you got a tame doe in there, what you do when you come up with food, he comes right up to you and he's hanging out with you and petting him, and he's there with you. The Lord's like it. He'll come to you, and he'll be waiting on you. He won't run. He won't run from you. He'll come to you. But you've got to be ready. You've got to want it. It's free, but you've got to want it. When you want what he has, that's when he can do more with you. And I mean, he will never run. He will always be there. I mean, I could tell you all the crazy things I did through my life, and he was always there. He showed me one time that he was there when I was a child, and I was doing a lot of crazy things and smoking weed and all that stuff when I was a kid, and he was still there. I mean, I did some crazy things. I had a crazy past, but he was there. He was there waiting for me for this day where I am now. He was waiting for now where he could work with me. Might be in 20 years, might be in 10 years, but he was still there waiting on me. He loved me that much. I was that important to him. And you're that important to him. You just don't realize it. Because a lot of times we have been in sin and we have fallen so low that we don't even know what we want anymore, that we don't even know about love anymore. And a lot of times the Lord has to reteach you what love is. And that's not by pointing his finger. Now, we was talking about this cleaning up of the church because the church has to be able to help you. I mean, you can't go to church and get help by somebody doing the same thing you're doing. That's not a help group. That's a that's a party, you know.
Yeah.
That ain't a help group. That's something that ain't gonna turn out too good. He wants a body of Christians that's there, that's actually there to help support what he's doing in your life. He wants somebody to help support what he's doing in your life and take you in the Word and guide you and show you what his Word tells you. He wants that for you. So, you know, I'm going to tell you, the Lord will straighten up this church. If the church is not doing right, it will go out like a candlestick. I guarantee you it will. I saw it happen. He deals with his people. Now, he'll never forsake them by no means. He always loves you, always there, but he's going to let you promote his word like that. Would you? If you had somebody working and helping you, would you want them to disgrace you all the time where nobody would ever come to you? No, you wouldn't. Uh-huh. Even if you had a place of business, I'll say, and you had a co-worker acting crazy and throwing things, and nobody never came in the store or whatever, you know, you wouldn't want that. You want to correct them. And that's what he's doing with the church. He wants to correct the church where he can save more people, bring more people to the Father. You can't bring people to the Father when they're looking just like the people that's coming in the door. You know?
Hey, you know, Sam.
Go ahead, man.
I was going to say right there, I mean, Paul in this letter, he's trying to explain to the church how to be like Christ. He is living like Christ, so he's trying to give and remind them of his example of living like Christ. Christ is the anointed spiritual Son that came down from heaven that now dwells in the hearts of the new believer. We are kingdom citizens, and he's trying to jar their memory concerning who they really are now. When we are looking at these letters, we're looking at him dealing with issues of people who are still living under the carnal nature, under the fallen nature. They're not dealing with themselves. They haven't learned, and I'll read this verse 21 in chapter 4, says, "What will ye? Shall I come to you with a rod or in love and in the spirit of meekness?" Paul is saying, do you want me to come and have to deal with you personally? Do I need to come and spank you? You know, or do I need to come to you in love and in the spirit of meekness? Meekness is all about being self-controlled. Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit, something that every believer obtains the moment that you accept Jesus as your Lord. But if you are living carnal-minded, it is enmity unto God. If you are living led by your emotions and not by your spirit, then you're going to naturally continue to do the things that you used to do and think that those things are okay to do. But if you are spiritually led, the spirit is rebirth. It is full of the power, the presence, the authority, the kingdom, the keys, everything that is associated with godliness and righteousness has been deposited in the spirit man that has been rebirthed as a kingdom citizen or a son of God. So Paul is saying, hey, this is what I'm doing. I'm an apostle, and I set your church up. I taught you for a year and a half how to be citizens of the heavenly kingdom that Jesus himself preached about. I taught you how to deal with yourself, and I taught you how to be men and women of God. But we see here that there's a group within the body that is not dealing with themselves, but they are still trying to live the way they've always lived and still experience the kingdom, but it's not possible. You can't be a son of God and be carnal-minded and emotionally led. You have to get self under control and let the Spirit lead you. In Romans chapter 8, verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit, they are sons of God." So what's happening here is we are seeing that he's having to write a letter to the body of Christ to get those who have not got a hold of this spiritual reality, because see, the kingdom of heaven, it is a spiritual reality. It is a spirit world, and it is the world of our Father that he is trying to manifest out of each and every individual that receives Jesus as Lord. But until each and every individual learns that this has to be done by faith in God, you have to believe by faith and experience the kingdom by faith. It's not carnal, it's not physical, it's not soulish, it is spiritual. Until they learn this truth, kingdom, the spirit world, and how to access what he has deposited on the inside of every one of us, on the inside of every believer, even these big dummies who are sitting here doing these things incorrectly. He's already deposited that new life inside of all of us. That's why we see people who claim to be Christian going out robbing stores, robbing banks, and doing crazy stuff, and then say, oh, I'm a Christian. And everyone said, really? Is that what Christians do? Well, Christianity is a religion. Being a son of God is the will of God. Jesus didn't come to establish a religion. He came to establish the kingdom, to reestablish, restore the kingdom of our Father in our lives. That's what he came to do. Religion is never going to work. I don't care if you're Buddhist, if you're Muslim, if you're Christian, because it's a world-class religion. Pagans were religious. Pagans worshiped idol gods. They were religious. So it's not religion that he is after. He is after every vessel being cleansed of its past and renewed in its spirit so that he can demonstrate, as it says in verse 20, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. It is to be demonstrated out of us that we are sons of God. And sons of God are not going to live in incest. Sons of God are not going to live in homosexuality. Sons of God are going to deal with issues within themselves. Sons of God are not going to be adulterers and murderers and revilers and extortioners. Sons of God are going to be focused on fulfilling Father's will and Father's plan, not just in their lives, but like Paul is doing here. He sends Timothy to them to help them get back on track. And he says, look, if you can't get back on track, if you can't get these guys to recognize where they're missing it so that they can become what the Lord is trying to do in them, verse 5 of chapter 5 says, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. And he's just saying, look, the fallen nature, if that's what they're driven by, that's what they're going to be driven by. Until they deal with themselves and realize that Jesus delivered us from everything that the fallen nature has to offer, sin has to offer, until they realize the reality that he has given us the ability to be influenced by our Father's presence in us, the ability to influence everywhere we go with the kingdom of heaven that has been deposited on the inside of us. Until they get a hold of that, they're going to continue to do this garbage that they're doing. But Paul says, look, if they don't deal with control, self-control is a fruit of the Spirit, then we're going to have to just let those guys go and hope and pray that they're going to get their lives back on track. Verse 7 says, purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump. You have to do that by self-discipline. Self-discipline by the Spirit leading you as you are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Just saying, deal with your flesh. Stop allowing yourself to be dominated by the old nature that Jesus has delivered you from, and allow the Spirit of God within you to lead you and manifest Christ out of you.
Amen. That's awesome. At this time, if anybody would like to accept the Lord, we're going to go ahead and do a prayer with you right quick. Just bow your head, however you feel that you would want to do while you say this prayer, just go ahead and do that. Just say, Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior.
I accept you as my Lord and Savior.
I hand all my sins and trespasses to you.
I hand all my sins and trespasses to you.
I accept that you died on the cross for me.
I accept that you died on the cross for me.
I accept that you rose on the third day for me.
I accept that you rose on the third day for me.
And I accept you in my heart for eternity.
And I accept you into my heart for eternity.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You just said that, Lord Jesus, it just came into your life. Lord Jesus, I ask you just to fill them up with your Holy Spirit. I ask you just to fill them up. Just bring your presence upon them. Bring your presence of fire and peace and everything you have. Just bring it to them, Lord. Just bring it to them. Just fill them up, Lord. Just fill them up. Fill them up with your peace and your glory. Just fill them up. Fill them up. Fill them up. Fill them up. Fill them up, Lord. Fill them up. 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 He just wanted me to keep on saying that because I could just feel the presence of God is coming, bringing his peace and his presence around you. You should be feeling this now. The Lord's coming around you now. He's giving you a great big hug. He's welcoming you in the family. And he's going to be guiding you from now on out. And he's a loving father, I'm going to tell you. He's a loving father. If you never had a good father, if your father's always failed, he won't. He will always be there. He'll show you more love than anybody can. I'll put it to you that way. And he showed me a lot of love and directed my life in a lot of good ways. So you're in good hands now. And at this time, I want to go ahead and talk about the Healing Light Conference in Florence, South Carolina. We're going to be doing this July the 31st and August the 1st. July the 31st is only going to be more of an introduction. We're going to have prayers after August the 1st, which will be that Saturday, will be a full day of training in street evangelism. You'll be learning how to pray for people, how to prophesy over people. There's going to be a lot of things going on there. It's going to be really exciting. We're going to have Robert and Erica Jordan is going to be there. They're going to be leading worship. And Robert Hager here, he's going to be here. I'm going to be there. Chuck McDonald's going to be there. Chris Crutchfield's planning to be there. We're all going to be there to help train, to help out, help teach. But Dave and Patty Leggy, if I can say it right, Leggy is going to be leading this whole thing along and teaching about the healing and teaching about evangelism, because they do this all the time. They was with John G. Lake. They taught the IHT. They helped teach the IHT for years, and now they went out on their own. They're doing their own thing now. But they're very good at what they do. They're very good at going to Scripture and showing you different things. And they got some unique ways of praying, pretty awesome. Everybody that I have saw that came out of their training session was fully equipped, hitting the street. People was getting healed and saved and all type of unique things. So it's going to be very exciting. I'm very excited just to see what the Lord is going to do through these people when we hit the street. I'm going to see Robert's wife go and pray for somebody by herself for one time. And that's going to be very exciting just to see that. So it's going to be exciting. And, you know, it's going to bring some bravery out too, because my wife's the same way. My wife don't like to go and pray for a lot of people out in the open because she's to herself a little bit. Me and her is two different people. So it's going to push all of our relatives out to do something that they're not used to, because I went to a training, Power and Love training, and they did this, and my wife went out and prayed for a couple people. It blew my mind. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've been in Walmart and I've prayed for people, and my wife would go and walk back there because she was shy. And not because she didn't want to, just because she was shy. And it takes shy people out and let them do things for the Lord that they thought they would never do. I'm telling you, you'll be amazed. You'll have testimonies. You'll be coming up here telling, well, I saw a man's leg get healed. I saw a blind man have his eyes open. I saw pain leave this guy. I got a word of knowledge, and somebody started crying because they were so thankful for what you gave them. I mean, you're going to be seeing the Lord work through you. And if you doubt this, come doubt, and I don't care, because you're going to see some unique things happen, because we like doubters, because God really likes playing with doubters, because he kind of blows their minds. And it's going to be unique. And, you know, you saw a lot of these people say they done this, they really didn't. This here is actually going to take place, because I've been involved in this before and really, really messed with some people's heads, because they couldn't believe what the Lord could really do through them. I mean, we've had 3- and 4-year-old kids touching people, and the power of God hit people, and they flipped backwards. A 3-year-old child now, things happening, because God can work through everybody. He can work through everybody. He can work through everybody. I don't care if you're a housewife. I don't care if you're 80 years old. He can work through you. It doesn't matter. If you're a yielding vessel and you're ready to be, you're willing to be used by the Lord Jesus Christ, he can use you to bring people to his kingdom. It wasn't only the disciples back 2,000 years ago or however. It's now, too. And a lot of people don't really like talking about the power of God because, oh, Lord, here we go. Another one of them. Yep. I'm telling you, it's not another one of them, because you're going to be one of them. You're going to be out there doing the same thing and watching the Lord use you like you never have before. And I tell everybody the same thing. Whoever you're working for, they're going to supply you with what you need. And you're working for the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to supply you with what you need. And what's going to jump this up is a lot of those people never had anybody that did this, but you're going to have people that has done this, and it's going to jump it up just a little bit more, of more things manifest in front of you, because we're going to let you pray for people inside the church first, some of the people in the group, and you're going to see things happen in front of your eyes, because it's going to build your faith. It's going to make you very excited, and you're going to want to do that. And when you hit the streets and get people healed, you're going to be so excited, you're going to go home and do it. You're going to go to Walmart. You're going to have a thrilling time in Walmart just praying for people and watching them get healed and building the kingdom for the Lord Jesus Christ, because we are all supposed to be doing this. Not just the special preachers behind the scenes or wherever. We are all supposed to be doing this. It's very exciting when you can do this, because it boosts up your it builds up your faith. It makes your Christian walk different. You know that the Bible is, you know, every bit of it is 100% real. I mean, you see it in front of your eyes, and it, like, boosts your faith. You'll live at church after you see this. You'll be like, oh, man, this is awesome. We're doing just what John and Paul did. And you'll feel like they're your brothers right beside of you, because you're doing the same thing that they did back in Acts. So, you know, it's very exciting, and I'm just not trying to pop this up, just trying to I am trying to get people to come, but I've saw this with my own eyes. I've done this myself, so I know it does work. And, you know, come and experience and see what happens. And it's free. There's no charge. We will be taking a love offering to help for the rent and all that stuff, the band and stuff. But, you know, there is no charge. And let the Lord use you. Get to walk in the shoes of Jesus. See what he did, and you can do the same thing. Go ahead, Robert.
I was just going to say that what you're explaining is supposed to be commonplace in the body of Christ. It's supposed to be what we are experiencing, because we're so hooked into him and not into ourselves. We're supposed to see the blinded eyes open, the deaf ears hear. The same ministry that our Lord Jesus performed, he is still alive. His will is still working, and he's just simply trying to find some of us who recognize this and want to duplicate what we see in him through our lives. That's what this conference is all about, going out demonstrating the kingdom of heaven, which is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is here. Jesus said, if I can cast this demon out, then the kingdom has arrived, and the kingdom has arrived. He is willing He's wanting us to be willing to be used by him so that we can go out and demonstrate with power and authority that we are linked into the one and only true God. And our desire is to see his desire fulfilled, lives transformed, hearts transfigured into the perfected image of Christ himself in our earthen vessels. Everyone that comes to that conference is going to be changed. Plan on transformation. Change is a good thing. Amen?
Amen. Amen. And like I was talking about, you know, if you're shy, there's no thing to it because you're going to have so many people around you. We're going to go out in groups. We ain't just going to tell you to go out. We're going to build groups. And the people that has experience in this will be taking a group. Each person that's had experience in this is going to take a group. There's a lot of people that's had experience in this type of thing. So, you know, they're going to all take a group. And we're going to take them out one at a time. And a lot of times, there's a lot of us that's Holy Spirit, that is hardcore Holy Spirit led. So we can point you to a person. Like, if you ain't really led yet, we say, there's a guy that's open. We'll just go there. And we might do the, you know, have the Lord to guide us to a place to go. I mean, it's called Treasure's Chest. It's from Bethel Church. They do that quite a bit. And a lot of us has picked this up. And we've had a lot of unique results. I mean, we did this in Hickory, and we've actually went to the exact person that was showed to us, and we pray for them, and they'd be like, wow, I didn't know you knew this. And it's just, the Lord will surprise you. The Lord will surprise you, and I'm telling you that you're going to have a unique experience, and it will change your life. Everybody I ever saw go to one of these things like this, their lives will change. And we're going to have more time at this one, because we're changing the schedule to it where we have more street time and a lot of training time. Normally the event didn't last as long as this one did, but we want to get everybody out doing this and get activated in this, because the activation comes from doing it. You're taught. We're going to make sure everybody's spirit-filled. We're going to pray over everybody to be spirit-filled and, you know, and give you a chance to accept the Lord. I mean, if you ain't really did that, we're going to give you a chance to do that and pray over you, and then we're going to sit and show you how this works, what you do. A lot of people think you just go over and pray. There is a way of praying for people with illnesses. There is ways that we do this, and we will show you how you do that and how the Lord did that. And a lot of times it's very simple, and we tell you what to expect, because a lot of times there's things going on with people that you've got to kind of know. That the Lord even did this. He knew when it was demonic, and he knew what to do. I mean, he was God. He showed us what to do. He was the first one that did this. Jesus was the first one that did this. And he had to teach the disciples how to do this. He didn't just take the disciples and said, you're my disciples, go now. Never did say nothing else to them. He didn't do that. He trained them for, what was it, 2 or 3 years. And,
3.5 years.
It was 3.5 years. He trained them. So you have to be discipled. And what we're going to do, we're going to take you on the street and disciple you. We're going to disciple you how this works. And I took a group out myself at the Power and Love Conference. And me, myself, I was actually wanting to be trained a little bit more. But instead of that, so whoever had experience, go up there. And all of a sudden, everybody came up there to me. I was like, I've got to train these people. So we did. And we had quite a few results out of it. We had somebody with a broke tooth had it healed. People with pains, their pains left. We've had all types of unique things happen. And I'm just telling you. And, I mean, it's just, you know, the supernatural life is the everyday life. We're a real for a Christian. I'm going to say for a real one, because there's some people that is Christians, but they've not walked in this yet. But we want to get you to walk in this. Because if you go to your hometown and do this, everywhere you go, the enemy is going to lose real big. He's going to fall down the hole real quick. So every time you heal somebody, you're taking demons out of these people where they won't mess with other people. So when you keep on doing this, you're killing the kingdom of the enemy. You're killing them. You're knocking his kingdoms down. And it makes the surrounding, the city better. you'll start seeing crime rates go down. I know Todd White and this other guy went into a city, Baltimore, and they had the crime rate was awful. Baltimore, one of these cities. And when they was praying for people just going down the road, the crime rate started declining. Killings started cutting down. They had the gang members to come to their church, and the gang members went too crazy about it, but they prayed for them, and two of the gang members became Christians and gave up their gang. So, I mean, this here can change your community. This can change your community. You can help change your community by praying for people and letting the Spirit of God touch people. See, a self-help group ain't going to change your community, but the Spirit of God will change your community. It has to be done by Him Himself. And when you pray for people, you're releasing that in them. Putting in you, you're putting in other people. And I'm going to tell you, there's people been out here testifying for 20 years and only saved two people. You can save two people within a couple minutes because they've got healed. And I'm not saying this is the only way you can do it. I'm not saying that. But it helps quickly. And you'll see why Jesus did that. You know, you'll see it real quick. So it's awesome to see that. And I think it's the Holy Spirit movie where these guys went out. And there was a guy outside the Mormon church, been praying for 3 years and screaming at him. And he only had two converts. And they went on the street and prayed and healed two or three people. And they had four within an hour. So it shows. It shows what Jesus did and disciples did works. And you will see that. And you will help build the kingdom for Christ. And that's what we're trying to do with this. But, you know, like I said, it's July the 29th and August the 1st. July the 31st, I'm sorry. July the 31st is going to start at 7 p.m. We're going to have open doors at 6. It will start at 7 p.m. We're going to be talking about the show and introducing you to Dave and Patty Leggy. I keep on getting their last name wrong, but we're going to be introducing you to them, letting them tell you more what's going to go on Saturday. And they might go ahead and get started in this and start showing you what they're going to teach and stuff. And I've got a wide screen of things that I'm wanting to add to it. I might add some of my co-hosts in that they have a specialty in that too. And I got some special co-hosts, guys. I mean, they all got a specialty and a gift, and I know them. I see the gifts, and I know what they're good in, and I throw them in that moment when they're needed. So it's going to be unique. You know, this is going to not only be for y'all, it's going to be for us too, because I love getting out there and seeing what these newer ministers that we have working with us now do, and how the Lord is going to move through them and change us and change y'all. And we're going to see a lot of unique things happen. So come to the event. It's going to be in Florence, South Carolina. It's going to be at Gospel Temple Worship Center, 3987 West Palmetto Street, Florence, South Carolina, 29-51. Go to the Healing Light Conference Florence, South Carolina page, or go to Stan Shell or the Healing Light. And I do have a Healing Light Conference and Roadshow page. You can check it out on any one of those pages. It should be there. Click on it, tell you all the information you need, and we'll be happy to see you there. And I'd like to say good night, and God bless every one of y'all, and we'll see you Saturday.
Good night.
We have raised 1,000 voices just to lift your holy name, and we will raise thousands more to sing of your beauty in this place. When none can even fathom, no, not one define your word.